WTF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with day four of Israel's war with Hamas.
Landmarks lit up around the world, from the Eiffel Tower in Paris to London's Parliament building to the White House in Washington, all glowing blue and white in solidarity with Israel. President Biden and the leaders of France, Germany, Italy, and the United Kingdom released a joint statement pledging support to the Jewish state and condemning Hamas.
That's correspondent Natalie Ruckham on global support. And rocket strikes rained down on Gaza overnight as the fighting intensified. Saturday's surprise attacks by Hamas have led to more than 1,500 deaths on both sides, among them at least 11 Americans. President Biden says there may be American citizens among hostages being held as well. He's expected to speak about the war at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. CBS's Jerika Duncan is in New York.
As attacks continue thousands of miles away, emotions in the U.S. are running high. Dueling demonstrations were held for the second day outside the Israeli consulate in New York City.
I think they're there just to murder, to kill.
There is bombing in their buildings.
Protesters have taken to the streets from coast to coast since Saturday.
The conflict is reverberating in Washington politics, where the House is still without a speaker, leaving lawmakers unable to approve new aid or funding for Israel. Republicans will meet behind closed doors today to consider a replacement for Kevin McCarthy, who was stripped of his leadership position last week. UVA political analyst Larry Sabato.
One thing that might influence this is it's a secret ballot. And as long as it stays a secret ballot, it really will be unpredictable. Because as we all know, politicians say one thing in public and do another thing in private.
Both the GOP Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan, who is endorsed by former President Trump, are vying for the position. The White House says President Biden was voluntarily interviewed Sunday and Monday as part of Special Counsel Robert Hur's investigation into classified documents found at his home and office. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
President Trump's Mar-a-Lago documents case made a lot of noise, and Trump himself was indicted in Florida. That made Trump supporters charge a double standard of justice. At least we now know that the Biden case was not buried. Whether President Biden will be indicted, however, is another matter altogether.
Sorry, would-be billionaires. No one won last night's $1.5 billion Powerball prize. It ups tomorrow night's ante to $1.7 billion, making it the second largest prize in the game's history. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over.
then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York into Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripescast, every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Monday, October 9th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome into hour two of the big program. Glad to have you along with us. Many thanks to Samuel Gold in the first hour, an informed, experienced analyst who is both a U.S. and Israeli citizen, a practicing attorney here in the U.S., worked for a U.S. law firm in Israel, who worked on terrorist law. On behalf of U.S. military men, I might add, who were maimed and hurt by terrorist organizations in the Middle East. Gave us a firsthand account, and appreciate it so very much, of what it's like to live in Israel and the fact that the complexities of this ongoing, a lot of words you could call it. It is certainly an ongoing rift. It's certainly, if you live there, in many regards, a war between Palestinians and Israel, which was escalated thanks to Hamas, a recognized terrorist organization, an offshoot of the Palestinians. And Sam made the point, and I appreciate this so very much, because Sam is certainly, as you would expect him to be as a dual U.S. Israeli citizen, very pro-Israel, as am I. But he made the point, and I admire him for this, and that's one of the things I love about this show, is the chance to dig down past the headlines and just talk truth. And Sam gave us an account of having been injured while living in Israel for 3 years, having to go in a hospital, go to the hospital, and made the point that, look, there are Palestinians who have become Israeli citizens. There are Palestinians working in Israel as doctors and nurses helping everyone out. That not every Palestinian should be made out as a terrible person here. That Hamas is a terrorist offshoot of the Palestinians who live and occupy in Palestine, in Gaza and the West Strip. This is complicated news, complicated things. And I appreciate Sam coming on, giving us that firsthand account and saying that as a dual Israeli U.S. citizen. But make no mistake about it. This Hamas group is a terrorist organization sponsored by Iran. Who works with Iran? Putin and the Russians. We will find out as time goes on how this happened, how Hamas was able to get around the intelligence of both the Israeli and U.S. intelligence on this, a surprise attack. My guess is all roads will lead back to Vladimir Putin, but we shall see. What do you think? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Going to answer this question from Jim in a minute, but Barbara in Middleton has been waiting patiently. Barbara, thanks for joining us. What say you?
Thank you for taking my call. This is my first time on here.
We appreciate it.
And I just, thank you. I am very pro-Israel, but I also hope that it also is understood that the Palestinians in Gaza have been starving. They have been without food. They had, thanks to the Netanyahu government, who is very right-wing, they can't work. They can't support themselves. This is a breeding ground for Hamas. What else could we expect? You put people in a corner. They have nowhere to go. They can't go to Egypt. They can't go into Israel. I don't know where he thinks that they should go, into the sea, when he tells them to run, to get out. So I have, my heart also goes to the Palestinians in Gaza, who, like I said, 90% are, they don't even have clean water. Mm-hmm. They don't have food. They don't have jobs. They don't have housing. So I just wanted to bring that out, because I don't hear that side at all.
I really appreciate the call, Barb. I always appreciate you listening. You listen to us on WMDX here in Madison?
Yes.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's a great point. And I've heard other people, Tony DeCopel, who's the anchor on CBS This Morning, who has kids in Israel. His two oldest kids are there. And he pointed out, you know, look, there are innocent lives in Palestine who are going to be killed and maimed because of this. So I think that's an important point, Barbara. Thanks so much. I appreciate you calling. What say you? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I go back to the point, to what Barbara's saying there, that yes, there is a long history of negotiations, of discontent, of hatred between Palestinians and Israelis. And there is certainly room on both sides of that debate to point out atrocities and hate. And to Barbara's point, I get that things are very difficult in the West Bank. But I still don't believe that should be an okay or say, well, you know, things are just so bad. Of course, Hamas has this right to do this. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Hamas, I understand how there's a lot of angst in the West Bank and in Gaza. But no one deserves to be slaughtered like what Hamas did to Israel over the weekend. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Take your calls, and we will get to Jim's text on the other side of this. What about this anti-Semitism on the rise here in the U.S. and around the world? This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy. We'll see highs in the mid-50s. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Some patchy frost once again. Mostly sunny for Wednesday with a high near 57. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 41. For Thursday, chance of rain, breezy, 56.
Currently, 42 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Wherever that might lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome to the Back to the Big Show, hour number two. It is 15 now, past the hour, 2 o'clock. Aaron Zommer is on the board. Todd Alba on the mic. Glad to have you along with us. Give us a ring, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Talking about the attack by Hamas on Israel over the weekend. Look, I get that this is a big subject. I get that this is a lot, because a lot of folks, quite frankly, don't understand the Middle East. And I get that, because it's complicated. A lot of this revolves around religion, and religious wars are always complicated. And you say, well, Todd, why are you taking all this time on it? Because as our first guest, Sam Gold, pointed out, this is imperative to the United States and those of us in Wisconsin on all kinds of different levels. Number one, our military. I mean, the USS Gerald Ford, our brand new nuclear aircraft carrier, is being moved into the region by President Biden as a deterrent to others in the region who might want to capitalize on this attack and attack Israel themselves. President Biden said, don't even think about it. All right.
And also, another good reason to talk about it, over 1,300 people are dead so far.
Right.
And it
so
just
far.
Started.
Exactly.
And hopefully can be stopped soon.
Hopefully. That is the hope, but to Sam's point, the first hour and many other experts or those who have lived there, it's tough to see how it's not going to escalate, because the sovereignty of Israel has been attacked by Hamas. Think about that. This is the equivalent of 7/9/11s to the Israeli people because of the volume of this and how small Israel is. Look at our response to 9/11. And then think, you know, if it was seven times that, what our response might be, what our feelings might be. Want to go down this road a bit further, welcome your calls. Want to go back to this text from Jim and WGBW at our station in Green Bay. Jim from Appleton says, do you think that the resurgence of the in-your-face anti-Semitism, especially in the United States, contributed to the timing of the Hamas attacking when they did? Look, I don't have purview to what Hamas's thinking is. I'll say that right off. I mean, good grief. The Israeli and U.S. intelligence obviously didn't even know what they were thinking. I will say, I believe it was the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War is when this happened in Israel. And yes, I do believe that the rise of anti-Semitism around the world, it certainly played a part in violence, particularly towards Jewish people. Going back to a story from March of this year, headline, anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. are at the highest level recorded since the 1970s. This from this year, according to CNN, anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. reached their highest level last year, since the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, a civil rights non-governmental organization, began recording them in 1979. The incidents, including assault, vandalism, and harassment, increased by more than a third in just 1 year and reached nearly 3,700 cases in 2022. The upward trend, that is alarming. Last October, a former student killed at the University of Arizona, a student killed a former University of Arizona professor who he believed to be Jewish. Just believed it. Didn't know it for sure, just believed it. This past February, a man was charged with two hate crimes after allegedly shooting two people who were exiting two separate synagogues in Los Angeles. And back in March, a Stanford University police launched a hate crime investigation after an anti-Semitic drawing contained swastikas and an image resembling Adolf Hitler was found on a Jewish student's dorm room. These are just some of the things that are happening. And I want to be very careful here in what I'm about to say. Very deliberate. What I am not saying, is that all Republicans are anti-Semitic. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is if you look at the Republican leadership, particularly the MAGA leadership, and you look at these rallies for Trump, and you look around at what they are carrying, many with Confederate flags, some with Nazi flags, the rise and the use of Nazi verbiage. We talked about this last week. Our friend Matt Flynn has talked about it. This use of the verbiage by Donald Trump saying that immigrants to our country are, quote, poisoning our blood, unquote. You know where that's from? Straight out of Mein Kampf, Hitler's book. This is the kind of stuff that the Republican leading candidate for the nomination of Republican Party in 2024 is saying. Quoting Mein Kampf. It's disturbing enough that Trump is saying these things. What's to me even more disturbing is the lack of Republican Party leaders calling him out. Where are the Republicans saying, we are not going to put up with Nazism? Where are the Republican leaders saying, we are not going to nominate a candidate who quotes Mein Kampf? Where are the Republican leaders who are standing up saying, we're not going to tolerate anti-Semitism in the U.S. That's what I find more disturbing. I mean, Trump is Trump. For me, the jury is in on him. He's a sick, mentally deranged person who is leading a mega cult in this country. And again, I will distinguish between mega and Republican. There is a difference, at least somewhat. So yes, Jim and Appleton, I think the reemergence of in-your-face anti-Semitism certainly is not helping what's going on in the Middle East right now. Whether that contributed directly to Hamas's attacks on Saturday, again, I'm not going to play the insider unless I know that I am. On this one, I am not. Invite your phone calls, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Off the MDX, WMDX here in Madison, off the text line, Mark from the SAC says, Trump never did outright condemn the, quote, Proud Boys who shouted, quote, Jews will not replace us, unquote, just recently made comments about the, quote, liberal Jews, unquote, and the, quote, to my point, blood poisoning caused by the, quote, immigrants, paraphrasing Hitler. Exactly what I was just saying there, Mark. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, the quote that I use about poisoning the blood, I mean, this is not like a one-off. This is not somebody that just slipped up, all right? Mark goes on to say in his text, anti-Semitism has long been a part of the American culture, one that George Washington tried to abate with his letter to the synagogue welcoming the United States. His letter ended, quote, may the Father of all mercies scatter light and not darkness on our paths, and make all in our several vocations useful here and in his own time and way everlastingly happy, unquote. Also, Wes from Middleton on WMDX says those Republicans are losing their primaries. Well, some are. To Wes's point, some of those Republicans who are spewing anti-Semitism,
are losing primaries. Or maybe he means it the other way. The Republicans who are standing up and not MAGA, they're also losing primaries. That's the point, right? We've talked about it before on this show. That many Republicans will privately tell you that they hate Trump, that they hate MAGA, but they're too afraid to say that publicly. Not just afraid that they'll lose their seat, they're afraid of their safety, for their safety. I mean, we've told it before. Mitt Romney says that he is spending $5,000 a day on personal security for he and his family because of the threat of violence for speaking out. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones and go to Sussex. Gary in Sussex, I appreciate you listening. What say you?
Well, you know, you're a nice guy and all, but boy, I agree with a lot of things that you do say, but you are like out in left field on this one. I mean, Republicans, I know you were very careful how you said it. I'm not saying that all Republicans are, you know, anti-Semitic, but, you know, so what you're saying is, like, you didn't say even a number, but there are no Republicans that I know of, and I'm very political, none, zero. Now, the Proud Boys, if they call themselves Republicans, that's fine, but they're a bunch of nutcases. I don't know any normal Republicans that hate Jews, and as a Christian myself and a lot of my friends that are Republicans, Christians, I mean, if we hate God, I mean, if we hate the Jews, man, we're messing with God, you know?
Well, I agree. And, I agree with you, Gary. I guess I appreciate your call. Always appreciate your perspective. But does it disturb you as a Republican that my point is that none of the leadership is calling this out? That, you know, whether you want to say, what's her say? She used to be Romney, the chairman of the Republican Party up there.
Rona McDaniel.
Thank you. Rona McDaniel. You don't hear her. You don't hear people like Mitch McConnell. You don't hear people like Lindsey Graham. Certainly don't hear Trump. I don't know any major Republican candidate, maybe Sands Christie, who has said, look, these anti-Semitism protests are not right, and we absolutely call it out. I just wish that there would be leadership, Gary. Does that disturb you?
You've said that.
Well, the thing is this. Netanyahu, and I'm not saying Obama was against the Jewish people, but he really
no, he's
wasn't.
Not.
I know that. I'm not saying he was, but he really wasn't the best friend for Israel. Okay.
But Gary, I'm not trying to be rude. You brought this up, so I want to get your perspective. As a Republican, does it bother you that you don't hear Republican leaders calling out anti-Semitism?
Well, okay, I can't say there are any, maybe they're keeping their mouth shut, but it's not because they're afraid. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure why they're not calling out, but you will be hearing out this week and next week, and who knows how long this war is going to go on. I mean, this could be catastrophic.
Yes.
What's going on that started, what is that, Friday night?
Saturday, yeah,
I was sitting there. Yeah, right. I was watching television at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was watching the Jewish station. I think it's something N24, and I was shocked to see what I was watching.
Got 20 seconds, Gary.
Then I got up. Yes, I got up on Saturday morning. I started watching this stuff. I talked to my wife. I said, "This is going to be really, really bad, and this is going to be very long because Israel is going to come back, and they're going to go out there, and they're going to take the Gaza Strip back by force." And it's going to be bad, and there's going to be war, and I tell you.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call. Gary from Sussex, back with more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Lowbell Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News. More air and rocket strikes rained down on Gaza overnight. The number of people killed on both sides has topped 1,600. The White House says at least 7 Americans are among the dead. Sacramento, California, Rabbi Mendy Cohen.
It's war. Don't think your brothers are fighting and you could sleep. It's battle for all.
Lawmakers in Washington still unable to approve aid for Israel with the House speakerless. Congressman Steve Scalise hopes to fill the spot.
We stand strongly with Israel. The House needs to get back to work. That means we've got to select a speaker, and you saw a strong resolve to make sure that we can come together quickly.
As for the investigation into the president's classified documents case, CBS's Robert Legarry has an update.
President Biden was interviewed by investigators in special counsel Robert Hur's office. That's according to a White House counsel statement released late on Monday. According to the statement, the president was interviewed on Sunday and Monday.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different. But you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show. It is now 33 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Allball, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommer. Sorry, I was reading two things at once and trying to talk. That doesn't always work too well. I'll look at the text line here before we move on. This is from Mark from the SAC on WMDX. Remember, you can text us by downloading the Civic Media app on either your iPhone or Android device. Mark says, quote, but again, Trump in his first meeting with the Russians in the early 2017 gave secret details to Israeli intelligence operations that required shutting down of the ops. Let's see here. Likely compromised operations. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier in the show, Mark, or maybe I've been doing two shows. I was on As Goes Wisconsin this morning with Jane and Greg. And so I forget what I said in both shows. But yes. Certainly, there was a compromise there of Israeli intelligence when Trump was president in 2017. Met with Putin, Russia, gave Putin and Russia Israeli intelligence secrets. Certainly has to be a contributing factor to what's going on in Israel and the attack by Hamas. Also listening in on WMDX here in Madison, Mary from Mount Horeb on the text line says, I appreciate the last caller and being civil with his perspective. I do as well, though I disagree with it. What steams me about people who currently vote Republican is how they can't hold their own leadership accountable. It was a simple question you posed regarding calling out anti-Semitism, and it was dodged. Seriously, I don't get it. Well, let me say again, I appreciate Gary and others like him listening. I appreciate their listenership. I appreciate them calling. And yeah, Gary's also always been a very reasonable person. He and I might not always agree on things. But again, one of the things I like about this show, love about it, is that we can have people that call in that don't agree with me, and we can have hopefully civil but spirited conversations about it. Yes, I again go back to my remarks about the Republican Party. Not all Republicans are anti-Semitic, not at all. But what confuses me, what baffles me, what agitates me, what infuriates me, is the leadership within the Republican Party not calling out these anti-Semitism remarks by people like Donald Trump, not calling out having a Nazi flag at a Trump or Republican rally. There's no room for that. No room whatsoever. So, yes, it's about civil conversation. I appreciate the remarks from Mary in Mount Horeb. 844-967-2789, if you'd like to join us. 844-967-2789. Let's go here in Madison. Stephanie in Madison, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, what say I? Well, first of all, Todd, I really want to let you know how much I appreciate your patience and your civility with people. I mean, you don't suffer fools either, but you really, really, really give people space, and people that maybe are, I think, might be a little bit off the rails. That's just my own opinion. Mm-hmm. But you're very patient and very respectful with them.
Well, thank you.
I just want to, the reason I called is in this war attack on Israel. It's a very, very, very serious topic. But I'm calling about the about Walgreens and the walkouts I want to just let people know that if you support Walgreen workers, call 1-800-WALGREENS. Okay. I've gotten to know my pharmacy staff because I use them pretty frequently, and they're stretched, just really, really, really stretched. That was the only thing I wanted to mention, okay?
I appreciate that.
I'm going to hang up and let you take other callers, all right?
Sure, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Stephanie and Madison, listening. I appreciate the kind words. Yes, I try my best. I mean, Mr. Zomers will tell you I get agitated sometimes. I'm not always the happy-go-lucky guy. I am human after all, right? But I try. One of the things that really helped me, I think, in being a better listener was owning a coffee shop, a couple of them. And when you have a coffee shop, when you're a business person, not everybody who walks through that door is going to be of the same mind as you. And one of the great things about coffee is it allows you to sit down over a lovely beverage and listen and discuss. And one of the best part about having a coffee shop were our customers. And they come in and they knew I used to be in politics, and we'd talk politics. And sometimes we agreed and sometimes we didn't. But you can't very well stand there when you own a coffee shop and yell at people who are paying to buy your coffee and bakery items. So you kind of listen and you wait. And you try to have, conversations back and forth.
Well, I mean, you could do that. You just wouldn't have a very successful coffee shop.
Well, exactly. So I try
or
to
be
remind
a very good person.
I try to remind myself as we're taking callers. I always have, a beverage, a cup of coffee or five in my hands. I'm a big beverage person. Zomers will attest to this. Today I only have two. I have coffee and water. Sometimes I have a lemon and honey. We're getting into the apple cider season, Mr. Zomers.
Ooh.
So yeah.
Might have to have five mugs over there.
Right. So the more you can just talk, but as importantly, listen to one another and realize that I think one of the big things having a coffee shop in 2016 is I knew that there were people who were frustrated on both political spectrums, right? And I think a lot of people who were shocked that Hillary Clinton lost weren't getting out into the rural areas of the state and listening and understanding folks in the rural areas who don't have the same experience of people who live in Madison. I have the blessing of having grown up and lived half my life in small town, rural Wisconsin, and I'm roughly half my life now in Madison. And I see the good and the bad of both. And it allows me hopefully to point out and to say, hey, we have to listen to one another, because we're not going to advance as a state or a country if we just don't listen to one another. So I appreciate the call. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Talking about the Walgreens walkout, this is happening all across the country. Pharmacy staff at some Walgreens stores across the country are locking their gates and walking out today, citing harsh working conditions that make it difficult to safely fill prescriptions. CNN confirming pharmacists have closed at some Walgreens locations in Arizona, Washington, Massachusetts, Oregon. Pharmacy staff and customers are posting to social media that other closures are taking place throughout the country. Many other pharmacies, that is, that remain open are severely understaffed today as the majority of their employees called out. Some stores said they were able to operate only through their drive-through pharmacy. Others said they'll be closing early due to a lack of staff. This is another important thing. And I know, Mr. Zomers, you were a pharmacy tech for a while. I mean, if you have not visited, I mean, I use Walgreens on occasion, but I mean, there is enormous pressure at some of these stores that are understaffed. And if you mess up, you could literally kill somebody.
Absolutely. It is continuing to be a big problem. It was exacerbated by the height of the pandemic when more people needed medicine, fewer people were able to go in and work. I can remember plenty of days where normally we would have had a pharmacist and three pharmacy techs, and then part of the day there'd be another pharmacy tech and a second pharmacist there with some overlap. And it was just me and a pharmacist trying to keep up with everything. And it's just absolutely brutal. And I understand people calling in and not showing up because it's unsustainable.
And you know, I don't claim all the nuances. I know some of it is working conditions. Part of it is pay. But these are people that we rely on them to keep us alive, to get the correct medications, to get the correct dosages. And you would think that some of these mega corporations like Walgreens and others would pay what they have to and to provide working conditions so that these folks aren't overworked and perhaps make a fatal error. We wish all the best to all of our pharmacists, particularly those walking out at Walgreens today. So if you're going to go to the pharmacy, if it's taking a little bit longer, please pack your patience. Please don't yell at the people behind the counter. It is not their fault. All right? Just chill. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Tom in West Allis. Appreciate you listening to West Allis, Tom. What say you?
Good morning, sir. Or afternoon, whatever. Anyway,
hey, you're here. That's all that counts.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm awake. Sun's out. just a real quick story. I was at Walgreens about 3 weeks ago picking up a prescription, and they said, I'd ordered another prescription, and they said, well, we don't have that in stock. We have to get it from the main distributor. And apparently, they have a warehouse or something where they have pharmacists filling the prescriptions there and then shipping them to the individual stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and said, really? And they go, yeah. I'm like, and does that make it any easier to you guys? All of them back there at the same time, no.
Wow.
You know, wow, so yeah. They, you know, Walgreens maybe made an attempt here, but it obviously is not working.
Yeah.
No. So I feel for them. You know, I do.
Yeah, me too. No, it's Mr. Zomer spent time as a pharmacy tech, not at Walgreens, right, Aaron? It was someplace else.
Yeah, I was at CVS.
All right, he was at CVS. But I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, it is a thankless job, and those people deserve to make a living wage and to get working conditions so they're not on their feet and tired hours and hours and hours on end. You want.
And not only.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, not only that, but the knowledge they have to have too, because I have heard pharmacists call doctors and say, do you really want to prescribe this for this problem?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, so they got to be on the ball. And those people, yeah, they should be paid very well for that kind of, and the amount of money at Walgreens brings in, that's another company too, big corporation that could easily pay their people more.
Absolutely agree with you, Tom. Thanks so much for listening down there in West Dallas. Have a great day. Thanks so much, Tom, in West Dallas. If you'd like to be like Tom, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. To your point, Mr. Zommers, oftentimes there's a lot of great small-town pharmacists too. And I don't think people realize, or at least some people realize, that a pharmacist has the same education and qualifications as a doctor. It's just that they're not trained in the procedures.
Yes, they have to know a lot of stuff and they have to stay sharp and keep learning because medications keep developing. And I know there were a lot of times where I was working at CVS where sometimes I'd see the pharmacist on their phone and I never thought they were like slacking off or anything. Right, right. But once I asked, I was like, hey, what you were doing over there? And they're like, oh, I'm reading this medical journal about a new medication on whatever. And I'm like, yep. So
just trying to stay up to date.
Always staying up to date.
Yeah.
And there have been plenty of times where they would flag a prescription and then call the doctor about it, or they would have already made that judgment call. So when we get it as a pharmacy tech and ask like, hey, should they really be taking this for this problem? And they're like, yeah, I called the doctor. There's this reason for it.
Right.
So always on top of it.
A shout out on WMDX here in Madison off the text line. You can download the app on your iPhone or Android device. This caller, listener on WMDX says, quote, a shout out to the staff at Walgreens at Monona and Flom Road here in Madison. The staff there works so hard and deserve some kudos, unquote. There you go. So a shout out and a round of applause to the workers and the pharmacists at Walgreens in Monona and Flom Road. We'll continue to follow it. Appreciate the caller bringing that up. Was on a list of things to get to today, so appreciate that. Again, Walgreens having a walkout at select locations, trying to bring home the fact that, look, we are understaffed and in many cases underpaid, and Walgreens has to do better so that they can serve their patients and not mess up. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. When we come back, I want to turn the page here, go to this story, great article on wispolitics.com. And this is going to, we're going to go through this. This is fantastic because it proves the Republicans themselves or a member thereof, leadership, proved that Robin Voss and the Assembly Republicans' offer to do bipartisan redistricting was never authentic. They never actually meant it. You kind of knew that, but it took the Senate President, Republican Chris Kapinga, to go on Milwaukee television this weekend and confirm it. We'll have what he said and why Republicans were never serious about redistricting in the first place. Back after this, this is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy. We'll see highs in the mid-50s. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the mid-30s. Some patchy frost once again. Mostly sunny for Wednesday with a high near 57. For Wednesday night, partly cloudy, lows around 41. For Thursday, chance of rain, breezy, 56.
Currently, 42 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from national news. A check of your weather, and then our friend and colleague, the great Matt Flynn, will be in at a little after 3 o'clock with Matt Flynn Direct. Always informative, always some great info, and he'll also make you laugh a little bit along the way, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be a big show today. You're not going to want to miss it. He is an attorney, been in all the courtrooms, and also a former chair in the Democratic Party, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn Direct coming up immediately after our show. I want to turn the page just a minute. We teased this before the break. Now, here's the deal. There was a lot of political hubbub, a few weeks ago, a couple, 3 weeks ago, when Republicans got a deathbed conversion on the issue of redistricting. Of course, Janet Protasiewicz, the liberal who was elected overwhelmingly by Wisconsinites back in April, is now on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And she had said during the campaign that she thought that the current legislative maps were rigged, which Robin Voss, the current Speaker of the Assembly, in testimony in committee, admitted was true in terms of, did they take political considerations into redrawing the maps? But he said, yeah, we're allowed to. Yeah, of course it did. So this is not even debatable whether the maps are rigged. All right, they are. Janet Protasiewicz told the truth. So then Republicans got all nervous and said, you know what? I think what we're going to do here is we're going to impeach. Even though she hasn't heard a case yet, even though she hasn't done anything, we're going to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz and get her off the court because she refuses to say whether she'll recuse herself from hearing a court case on redistricting that would allow the courts to redraw the maps and make them fair. And so they're going to impeach her. Well, that, of course, Democrats rightly, and Ben Wickler, the chairman of the Democratic Party, did a great job of getting the message out. And say, look what these Yahoo Republicans are going to do. They're going to impeach a Supreme Court justice never been done before in Wisconsin before she ever hears a case. Even principled Republicans said that's nuts. And so Robin Voss got a late deathbed conversion, political conversion. And so, you know, we've been against fair maps since 2010 and before. But you know what? I've now decided that we're going to adopt a plan that was largely based off my former boss, Republican Dale Schultz, and former Democratic Senator Tim Cullen's plan, and loosely, not entirely, but loosely built around the Iowa model for redistricting. And he put forth this plan that he plagiarized most of it from Dale Schultz and Tim Cullen. And they added a couple of things in there. Well, the Democrats and Governor Tony Evers said, wait. We don't trust you guys. We're not having any part of this. And so they said it's just dead on arrival. Now, many people, including myself, called out some of the Democrats and Tony Evers for saying, well, maybe you should have at least waited a couple of days and said, hey, well, let's look at this, give you a chance to have a public hearing on it at least, and hear you out. But here now, over the weekend, It turns out that Tony Evers is probably right for what he did. He knew what was going on with these Republicans. In WISP Politics Today, says State Senate President Chris Kapinga says there aren't enough votes in the Wisconsin Senate to pass legislation that would draw new legislative maps ahead of the 2024 election, a move deployed by Senate Speaker Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, in an attempt to bypass the state Supreme Court's new liberal majority. So here you go. Chris Kapinga says on WISN's Upfront, which is produced in partnership with WISP Politics, he said, quote, "We're looking at that right now. We're having these discussions internally to determine, is this direction the direction we want to go? There are two sides on it. On this is an action we could take, and it could possibly make the process better. The other side is that the discussion is we have passed maps. The Supreme Court of the U.S. has said they follow procedure, so that's the debate going on right now. We have to figure out the best course of action. There, quote, is part of the quote, there are not the votes in the Senate right now to pass that legislation," unquote. And this interview, by the way, was taped hours before Janet Protasiewicz issued her order on Friday, declining to recuse herself from the cases involving the state's legislative maps, which, by the way, I agree with her on. But this, as a former colleague used to say, is rich, because Republicans and Robin Voss made this huge deal out of saying, look, we want to work with Democrats. We want to work with Tony Evers. We want to pass new fair maps. But guess what? Robin Voss never walked across the hall and talked to the Senate, also controlled, has a supermajority in the Senate of Republicans. Turns out the Senate Republicans aren't on board. Even if Voss would have gotten the votes in the Assembly, the Senate Republicans would have killed it. This is further proof. Not only can Republicans not govern in Washington, D.C. and have a speaker, they can't even govern themselves here in Wisconsin. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Coming to the end of the show here in about 2 minutes. Let's go to the phone lines, though. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, we'll give you the last word here. About a minute left. Go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly, two things. First of all, there was a little catch in that proposed legislation. That catch was, I think, something to this effect: if the legislature votes to turn down the neutral map twice, they can draw their own maps again.
Sure, right.
And the second thing I want to say about that is, this is all about delay, delay, delay. Let's push this back until after the 2024 election so we can get our majority in again and hopefully maybe even get a Republican governor.
Absolutely. It's called run out the clock. Instead of beat the clock, it's run out the clock. Jack, always great insight. Yep. Appreciate your listenership. Have a great day up there. Jack in Merrimack, thank you so very much. Jack is right. These Republicans just want to run out the clock. But what I love about this from a political standpoint is the hypocrisy once again of Republicans and Robin Voss. And you have Brian Schimming, the chairman of Republicans, trying to call out Democrats saying, oh, they don't want to work with us anymore. They don't really want fair maps because they dismissed our offer. But here, the Senate President, Chris Kapinga, says on the air, on the record, that they don't even have the votes in the Senate to pass what Voss said they could do.
Although, regardless of the maps,
they cannot govern.
Regardless of the maps, we should acknowledge that all of the land we're on here in Wisconsin is stolen from Indigenous peoples. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day. We didn't really get to that today because of the topic.
We did. We'll try to pick that up tomorrow. Thank you very much, Aaron Zommers. Stay tuned next. It is Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct. He has a great show planned for you. Do not change that dial. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep banging your drum.
It's
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.